I'm going to teach you some Northern Irish today, okay? And the reason why I'm going to teach you some Northern Irish is because the punchline and the title of my message requires you to be able to understand the key word. And if I get excited and start to speak in Northern Irish and run it together, you might find it difficult. So everybody have a go at saying, in Northern Ireland, when we talk about the Father, Son, then we talk about the Holy Spirit. Can you say Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
Spirit. That's it. So akin to that is also the word desperate. Okay, how do you say desperate? In desperate. Desperate. We tend to say desperate. So the title of the message I have for you today is How Desperate Are You? So everybody turn to each other and tell a little bit of Northern Irish, because there's the you Northern Irish word as well. Turn to somebody beside you and just say, How desperate are you? Because I have to confess, Dennis and I were in China in November. I got ruined. I got pierced by desperation. I have not recovered from it. I am when I go 2 or 3 days without crying, I think maybe I'm starting to get over it, and then I start to, because I'm just crying all the time. I have been pierced by something. The Holy Spirit has taken his. Sometimes people are afraid of the Holy Spirit from the point of view of something difficult or some sort of adversity might be happening in our transformation, as we heard the Spirit speak to us today. But sometimes he pierces us because he wants us to be transformed, just as the word said. So for those of you who want to move on, for those of you who want to be transformed, for those of you who want to enter into salvation with Jesus Christ for the first time, it requires a bit of piercing. It requires a little bit of pain and discomfort to get beyond ourselves into what God's calling us to be. And as a result of that experience, as often is the case when anybody gets an experience of a new revelation of God, we want to know, is that in Scripture? Can we back that up? Is there desperation evident in Scripture? Is the faith of those people in China that responded, which I'll talk about in just a minute, can we find that in Scripture? So I looked to Scripture and I looked at several heroes of Scripture to see how desperate they were. And I turned to Moses, famous chapter, Exodus 33, where this is Moses' day work. Okay, in Exodus 33, he has an exchange with God. And the reason why he has an exchange with God is because God says to Moses, and it says in that passage that God spoke to Moses as a friend, face to face. In Numbers 12, it said that Moses was the most humble man on the planet. And God spoke to him face to face. And God said, to paraphrase, listen, I'm not going with you and your friends because you're a stiff-necked people, and I'll just toast you on the spot. You drive me crazy the way you behave, and it's safer if you go, take the people, I'll send an angel with you, off you go, and I'll stay back. And when Moses heard that, and he announced that, there was distress and mourning throughout the people of Israel. And Moses alone went to the tent of meeting. Now, little Joshua, he hung out in the tent of meeting, but Moses went and met with God in the tent of meeting. A pillar of cloud came down, indicating the presence of the Lord. The people of Israel watched from their tents and worshiped God, and then Moses spoke face to face. And what Moses said to God was, look, I want to remind you, these are your people. How will these people be distinguished from any other people on the face of the earth if you don't go with us? And God said, okay, I will. I will go with you. That's a pretty good day's work. What did you do today? Well, I spoke to God. I avoided a catastrophe that he wouldn't go with us to the promised land. But that wasn't enough for Moses. That all happens. Good day's work. Then Moses says, Exodus 33:18, and Moses said, I beseech you. Day's work. He says, I beseech you. He's talking face to face with God. He's got a pillar of cloud right before him. He's got everybody else who's standing up and living, worshiping this amazing theophany of the presence of God beside him. And he's got, that's not enough. that's not enough. I beseech you, show me your glory. That's desperation. How desperate are you? And the result of that desperation was he got to see God. He didn't see his face because he would be toast if he saw his face. But he got to see God. And probably the person that expresses desperation more than anybody else in Scripture is David. And the story of David, when he brings the ark in 2 Samuel 6:22, it's a bit of a disaster because they try to originally bring the ark and they haven't done the research, and the ark is going along and the oxen stumble because it's on a cart, and one of his best friends puts his hand out to support the ark, as you would if you had a value for God, and God kills him straight there. Kills him straight there. And David, oh my goodness, what has happened? He is angry with God. He then cut a long story short, researches what happens, what should happen, that it should be carried properly. And then he takes it from Obed-Edom's house, and it says every six steps there were sacrifices. Every six steps, that's not very far. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sacrifice. I take it it's a slightly long process, although you do have to kill it, but that's a lot of sacrifices in the journey. And it says that David, he was just dancing with all his might. Have you ever danced with all your might? Have you ever been to a conference, or sometimes when I've gone up to Prescott in the summit, I come back down and then I go to scratch. I think I pulled something because I've been. That's a sacrifice, you know. If you're ever going, because, you know, this is the country where people like to keep fit, and also where people like to eat huge amounts of calories, two extremes. But you know, and I know that if you want to keep fit, there's a time where you have to push on through. So especially the young people that are here today, and it's absolutely wonderful to see you out. Really encouraging to see young people anywhere. But you know, maybe you had a late night last night, maybe you're a little bit tired, and worship starts, and you go, you know what? Couldn't be bothered, really. I'm feeling so tired. Just push on through that. That's a sacrifice of praise right there. You worship him, you experience him more. So David is dancing with all his might. He's giving it full on, just worshiping God. Why is he worshiping God? He comes home to the wife. The wife goes, you're a right. Well, back home, we would say, you're a right idiot. You're a right fool of yourself there, dancing before all the girls, just making an absolute spectacle of yourself. David goes, I'll be even more undignified than that. Why did he say that? Because he's desperate. He's absolutely desperate for the presence of God. He knows that the presence of God is in the ark. He wants to get it safely to Jerusalem. It's not about the task-orientated job of getting the ark there. It's about worshiping God. It's about desperation. He just wants to meet with God. He is desperate. So I looked at those heroes of faith. And then, so that was the desperation side of China. And then there's this faith thing that goes on in China. We saw it in South Korea. But this faith dynamic, that's just profound. I'm going, is that in Scripture? Can we find that in Scripture? Can we find where people get so desperate that they start to push people and shove people and move people out of the way and go up to the leader and say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And you're going, what? This is a wee bit. This isn't exactly church. It's not exactly sort of. So can we find that in Scripture? Is there evidence of that, where people are so desperate that they actually do it? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Somehow we miss it. So you look in the New Testament, faith-fueled desperation, and you see it everywhere. You see it in the lepers. The lepers are not supposed to be near anybody. The lepers are supposed to be far away. And there is a passage in Luke 17 where it talks about the lepers see Jesus, and because they're fulfilling the social and cultural and religious norms, they shout, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. Because we're lepers, we can't go anywhere near. But there's stories of where the leper in Matthew 8, verse 2, it says that he comes and he falls at Jesus' feet. Can you imagine that scene? A leper comes in, falls at Jesus' feet. There's nobody going to be standing anywhere near Jesus. The place is going to clear. It's a leper. And it says he begged. In other translations, it says he worshipped him and he begged. And the Lord said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, be clean. desperation. When faith is a priority, it can be desperate and culturally and religiously impolite. It's in Scripture. Then you've got the blind. Two blind men in Matthew 9 and 20, they follow Jesus, calling out to Jesus. Jesus turns to them and says, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done to you. What about Jesus? Is Jesus not supposed to be the person that heals? And Jesus says, according to your faith. It's in Scripture. And then we've got the famous story of blind Bartimaeus. He's at the side of the road. He obviously can't see what's going on. He's sitting there, and there's a bit of a commotion, and he says, what's going on? What's happening? And they say, Jesus is in town. It was Jesus, 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 Son of David, have mercy on me. And they go, shh, it's not, that's rude, it's not. And of course, because the man is desperate, because the man wants to meet with Jesus, instead of him going, oh, awfully sorry about that, he just says, it says in Scripture, he shouted all the louder, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why did he say that? Because the man is desperate. Is he desperate to get healed? Yes, but he's desperate to meet Jesus. He's desperate to meet Jesus. And whatever comes as a result of him meeting Jesus, then he gets healed. But he wants to meet Jesus. Who's it telling? Jesus? I want to get to Jesus. I want to get to Jesus. I am desperate to get to Jesus. And that desperation fuels faith. And Jesus says, bring him over, bring him over. And he says that he throws off his cloak and he jumps to his feet and he goes over. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He says, I want to see. Jesus says, go. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you? It's everywhere. Faith, how desperate are you? And my favorite is of course, just to throw in, you've got the Vandals who, and actually when you look at Scripture, because we have Sunday school stories back home and you think, you know, the friends bought the guy on the stretcher, he was lame, and they let him down through the roof. They dug a hole in somebody's house in the ceiling. Can you imagine Pastor Bourne's going, you know, what's going on here? And suddenly they're digging a hole in the... That's not... What is that? What makes people do that? Desperation. They can't get in. It would be great if people couldn't get in. Well, it wouldn't be great if people couldn't get into the presence of God, but it would be great if the place was so packed that people couldn't get in. You had to have multiple services because the presence of God was so strong. But if people are so desperate, they actually start to dig a hole in the ceiling to get to the presence, to get to Jesus. Doesn't say anything about the opinion of the guy who's been let down in the stretcher, but his friends are digging a hole to get him to Jesus. They are desperate. And then you've got the secret shame, Mark 5, the story of the woman with the bleeding. She says, if I can just touch in this crowd and all these people, I can just touch his clothes, just touch him, then I'll be healed. If I can just get to Jesus, I can just get to him. And then this amazing verse in Mark 5, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And it says that once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, hold on a second, Jesus suddenly, power comes out of him, but unbeknown to him, power comes out of him. What is that all about? That's about faith extraction. That's about somebody with so much faith, they're just desperate to get to God. As they get to God, they extract something from him, not in a manipulative way, not in a pressurized way, but in a faith-fueled desperation way. How desperate are you? How desperate are you? The principle of desperation is very simple and very profound. It's all-consuming, transcendent cause. It's as simple and as profound as that. Those biblical examples of the heroes and those exchanges with Jesus, God is their only hope. There is nothing or no one else that will satisfy. How desperate are you? They could see nothing else. Moses is just going, I beseech you, I just want to sit, like, forget, I just beseech you, show me your glory. I got to get to you. I got to see you. The pillar of cloud is not enough. Might be enough for us. Might be enough for us. Moses has been around. It's not enough. Forget the cloud. I want to see your glory. David, Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1. This is the verse that sums up desperation. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Now, you people understand the concept of a dry and parched land. All right? We people have no idea what that looks like. Okay? There's a place in Ireland, apparently it only doesn't rain 23 days in the year. A place called Glenveagh in Donegal, because if you're looking at America, Atlantic, and as the clouds come over, it just dumps its rain in Ireland. That's why it's spectacularly green. The green of Ireland in the middle of winter is spectacular relative to the green that you might experience in the spring here. It's spectacular. That's why everybody talks about the green of Ireland. How desperate are you? You know what it's like. I know what it's like now. Sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night, because we don't experience it back home, you wake up in the middle of the night, you go, everything is dried. That's a completely bizarre concept back home. It just never happens unless you happen to leave the hairdryer on your face. And it's just not going to happen. Dry and parched. So sometimes I get visions before I come to the summit. So last year's summit was that I was diving in. And instead of diving in and then coming up for air, I just dived in and kept swimming deeper and deeper and deeper. So this year, as I'm preparing and even preparing this message, I get this image for Psalm 63. So you imagine the scene. You're really thirsty, and you get to the beach. It's a lovely beach, and the breakers are coming in, and everybody starts to get their shoes off and get there, because they're all going to go running in. I am behind these people getting their shoes off, getting ready to get it, and I'm just running in with all my clothes. Get in there, get in there, get in there. Why? Because I'm desperate. I am absolutely desperate. I've been touched. I've been pierced by desperation. I need to get to God. So, and it's happened before, but even more so this year, we go up the summit, and there's some introductions. Where are you from? Oh, yeah. Hello. And this is my wife. By the way, this is my wife, Hillary. I didn't introduce her earlier on. This is her third time. This week, we are unleashing our daughter, Leah, upon you. So you'll get to meet our daughter, Leah. But there's this introduction in the summit, and Elise from, she's married to Andrew. And I'm sitting there going, can we just get in there? Can we just get into his presence? Because I'm desperate. I am desperate. Desperate for his presence. Desperate to experience him. We got to get to God. We got to get to Jesus. We have got to get to the Holy Spirit. So, in China, thank you for your prayers in China. And I have talked to some people, both in Northern Ireland and both here, that paid a price for praying for us in China. As we were in the bunker, or the craft went through, spiritual craft went through China, you can hear maybe bullets pinging off. But we essentially were okay. But there are stories of people had to pay a price. The difficulty is they prayed for us. Somebody back home, they were praying for me on my return. And they said, thank you, Lord, that Andrew was not arrested, kidnapped, or killed. So I stood up after she prayed for me, and I said, thank you for that prayer. I was not arrested, kidnapped, or killed, but I did die. I died. I could tell you about it wasn't the immensity of China. So we come from a little country, 1.7 million people. There's 1.4 billion people in China. It's just immense. We were on a train that could travel at 430 kilometers an hour. I think that's 225 miles an hour. If you put that in the center of Northern Ireland and point it in any direction in Northern Ireland, it would leave the country in 15 minutes. We're just tiny. It wasn't the immensity that pierced me. It wasn't the intentionality. The immensity as well is that the pastor of 4,000 people with oversight for 3 million people, that's twice the number of people in my country. And he's just one man. It wasn't the intentionality of the people. We ended up being at a ministry school. They are up early in the morning. They worship and they pray. Then they have the teaching. They have a short break. They worship and pray for an hour. Then they have the teaching. They have a break, have some food. Then they have worship and prayer for an hour. And then they have some more teaching. It's really, really intense. And on top of all that, they have to read 40 chapters of Scripture every single day. Intentionality, wasn't that the piercing? It wasn't the intensity of ministry. We prayed for people, we prayed for the leaders in one of the churches, and it was like a Holy Spirit bomb went off. It was just like chaos. People were getting impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was just amazing. It wasn't the intensity of a mass deliverance as the Holy Spirit came and flushed out demons in these students in one of the schools. And they were delivered. It wasn't that. It wasn't the intensity and profoundness when the prophetic spirit came down and those students just gave prophetic words for about 45 minutes, just one after the other. It wasn't that. But it was an accumulation of many of those events in the time that we were there, which came down to the last day. And it was a culmination of all those events and then the incision of the Holy Spirit in love, in impartation, in piercing. And the situation was this. All through your trip, there was always reference to this shadow of the government. So the big pastor, not big, quite small actually, but with a big responsibility, he didn't meet us at the train station because he didn't want to be seen with Westerners up front. We were in the hotels. The people had numbers on their badges and instead of names, which is really a bit bizarre. You put your card in, you only get up to a certain level on the hotel of your floor and nowhere else because that's your room number. You're not allowed anywhere else. You can use the Wi-Fi, but you have to put in your room number and the last 6 digits of your passport so that they know who was doing what. And on the last day, we ended up going to a factory that has a church in the middle of it. It's a cultural thing that they have. The Chinese are very happy with it. Chinese can minister to Chinese. It's not a problem. So there's this big factory around the outside of the courtyard, which has some accommodation blocks, and then it has the sanctuary. So we are basically hidden, not in sort of a big dramatic Jason Bourne type thing, you know. But we're just in a room, okay? It's not as dramatic as you might think. We're just in a room, but then they give us an orientation. The orientation is this. Okay, if things go really well, more people might come to the afternoon session. If more people come to the afternoon session, we're going to cancel it because that will attract people to you. If you get asked why you're here, say that you were visiting the factory, and while you were visiting the factory, you were asked to share. But don't refer to the pastor. Don't refer to the fact that you're pastors. Don't refer to the fact that you have been asked to preach. Simply, you have been asked to share as part of your arrival here at this factory. And in the event that the police come, we're just going to inform you that the pastors will disappear into the crowd and you will be on your own. And then through the translator, they said, but do not be worried, because the worst thing that could happen to you would be that you would be blacklisted and deported from the country. And we're going, oh, that's really great. So in that environment, you're suddenly, you know, we talk about being dependent on God, right? But in that environment, in that moment, after all that we experienced in the week, you suddenly realize that actually this is about dependence on God, because when it really kicks off, they have actually told us they're going to leave us on our own. So we're going to be with God. It helps you to focus your mind. So we walk across the courtyard, and Dennis and I are looking at each other, and Dennis said, well, now we'll see who's really got it and really can and do it in the circumstances. When we walked into the church, and the presence of God and the intensity and the desperation of the people worshiping was just profound. Then it came to the response time. Now, there was a stage without, I don't know what it would be like, if it had been in this church. It would have been carnage, but they have a stage, so it's about 4 feet high. So imagine 350 people in a room about this size, okay? And that 350 people en masse come to the front, and the furthest person back from the stage is about here. There's 350 people packed in. And it's not the young people first. There was two old women with a woman with some degenerative brain condition. They had somehow managed to get themselves up to the front. They're right at the front. They're desperate. They're absolutely desperate. And then we look around. Show me some complacency here. Show me some indifference here. Show me some lack of desperation here in this room. And you can't see it. It's not there. And the difference that makes to the environment is incredible. Then we do the ministry and people are receiving. We're actually having to hold people up because we're actually conscious there's so many people here that if they were to fall, they could actually get crushed. Somebody could get hurt. So we're trying to hold them up. And then it sort of starts to thin out a wee bit and people come to us to ask us to pray. And they're not coming to ask us to pray for them. Can you pray that I receive the Holy Spirit? They're coming to be healed. They're not coming to see if there's a possibility of being healed. They are coming to be healed. They're going, and they're pushing it. What? Just give us a second. And people are getting healed. And then as people get healed, this escalating, expanding environment of faith starts to get higher and higher. And just people are getting healed. There's no five-step model here. People are just getting healed. And then somebody's pushing you. And I looked around and this lady said, pray for me. And I said, actually, just a second. Because in that moment, I went, she's getting healed. Just pray for her. She's healed. Just healed. Unbelievable is the wrong word. But from where we're coming from, it's just unbelievable. What they have is that. Well, actually, let's talk about what we have. And what I say in humility and in transparency. And I've applied this to the tip of this sword to my heart. We tend to go, okay, that's nice, don't you? Yeah, just, oh, wow, powerful, awesome. But they go, that's like China. That's China, and that's over there, and that's not us. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, China are closer to the biblical worldview. And I wasn't all over China. There's 1.4 billion people. It's a big place. But what we got a glimpse of and what the Holy Spirit showed us was it's on. The stuff of the Bible is totally on. You can have a faith environment where people are getting healed left, right, and center. You can have a desperation that extracts from God His presence and His power that you have never seen the like of. And Dennis and I were marked by that. Dennis is on the phone on the morning that we're returning home. And I felt sorry for Doug at the time because I heard him say, you know, man, we're like a 2 out of 10. And I was thinking, oh, Doug's going to be at the other end of the phone going, what's Dennis going to be like when he gets back? And when he hung up, I said, ah, Dennis, come on, you know, 2 out of 10, like your church, you know, that was, you don't think I was a little bit harsh? And, you know, when my daughter Leah comes, there's two newbies coming this week from Northern Ireland. When she comes, she's going to realize that there's a gap. She's going to realize, my goodness, and she comes from a vineyard church, she's going to realize, my goodness, you're getting things done here, right? But we were in China and we're getting to see an experience of the Holy Spirit and a possibility of what's on that is just reveals the gap, which is what Dennis said. Look, okay, maybe 2 out of 10 was a bit harsh, but there's a gap. There's a gap. And the gap we have, the gap that I can see, there's a much, much, much longer list back home. But the point I want to leave with you about where you're at is there's a tolerance here. Not in condemnation or judgment, because we're people of Romans 8 verse 1. We don't do condemnation or judgment, right? But there's a tolerance. Oh, worship today was fantastic. It was great. What about, I beseech you, Lord, to see your glory, not just great worship where my spirit is lifted and I am transformed and I may have salvation, but I just want to see your glory. There's more. But we tend to go, yeah, we're doing okay. You know, that Wednesday outreach thing that's now expanded into other things, that was really profound. We're doing okay. There's a gap. We've got to be after the gap. We've got to be after a desperation that consumes us, a desperation that it is all about God. All it is all about. It's not about Sunday or when we go to our kinship groups, or it's about everything. It's all about Him and nothing else and nothing more. People are talking about China's coming. Economically, all the rest of it. And they're talking about the Chinese churches coming. And we continue to go, yeah. Again, from a tolerant point of view, this is the promise. And this is what Peter said regarding the Holy Spirit and His presence and His activity. He said in Acts 2, the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, all whom the Lord your God would call. We have an invitation to the fullness of what God has in offer, that we don't go, oh, that was amazing and awesome in China. We get to experience that if we step through the door of invitation of what the Spirit is calling us to do, which is be desperate. Just be desperate. Have an all-consuming passion for Him and nothing else. We go after that, and then He comes. He fulfills His promise, and the church here is doing well, but the church expands and escalates in Holy Spirit activity that does have people packing in through the doors that you can't have room, that does have people in desperation to get the presence of God, opening up the ceiling to try and get in. Desperation. Marty, you want to come? Please stand with me. I have some questions for your response and consideration. Do you want to be pierced today with desperation? Do you want to be a child of the promise and access the invitation that Peter made to the people, that the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off? Do you want to be impacted by the Spirit in such a way that desperation just explodes from who you are, and the vision of your life, your ministry, your workplace gets expanded and escalated as faith is stirred in you? If you can respond to any of those questions, please come forward, and we're going to worship for a while.